Foster. It's another beautiful day. I'm here with Polly Walnuts. Polly Walnuts hasn't been on the blog podcast for a long time. When was the last time you did a podcast, Polly?
The last time you screwed it up.
It's the last time I screwed it up. What do you mean?
There was no sound. You couldn't hear anybody's voice.
It was terrible.
It was horrible. Me and Paul Morrison was here.
I wonder why was it so screwed up? What was I using for a setup? Did I use the iPad?
No. You were using some kind of big microphone.
The Blue Yeti? The big penis mic?
Yeah.
The Blue Yeti. That's the name of it, of that mic.
Is it?
I love this setup right here with the little Samson Go mic and the iPad and the Boss Jock app. But
something happened with the sound.
But now you're here and hopefully people can hear you. I'm hoping. Because you got a lot to say.
Yeah, but I might regret it.
When
things pop out.
We never know what Paulie's going to come out with. There's something. One of the first times I think I met you in the early days, I think you were a fan of the blog and from the early days, but I had really kind of like bumped into you, was going to the Schooner Festival, I think back in 2008.
Right.
Is that right?
Right. I asked you for a sticker.
You asked me for a sticker, and you like to photograph the schooners, is that what it was?
Yeah.
So you were down there bouncing around. We did some great, that year I remember I did some great interviews with Jared Talarski and
all the captains.
Yeah. And we kind of got them to say inappropriate things, and it was great. That's back in the day.
That's when I really liked the blog.
Now it's all watered down. Crap. Yes, I know. So, but you still love the water. The reason I bring this up is because the Waterfront Festival is 2 weeks away.
I know, huh?
And is this one of your favorite Gloucester events?
Yeah, it is, because I missed it last year. I really didn't go down last year, so.
Yeah?
Yeah, I really want to go, especially with the Coast Guard Eagle coming in.
That's a big ship.
Yeah.
That's a big ship.
I'm surprised there's a lot of boats coming down. I'm surprised there's not more, because there's so many out there. Like, you got that Carmel Nickel that's been popping around Massachusetts for the last couple of weeks.
You got space constraints,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
But I would imagine, you know, it would be kind of cool. Like back in the day, if you see those old photographs, off of where Eastern Point was, there was like 500 schooners,
yeah.
or some 250 or five. I'm gonna say 250.
Yeah.
I think that's the number I remember. All on moorings.
Right.
Schooners, huge schooners, floating around out in the outer harbor.
Well, that was work time. That wasn't a festival, was it?
No, it wasn't a festival. It was work. These were boats that were coming in offload. I mean, that's why when they say the fishing industry here is this huge deal, it's kind of laughable compared to like when you look back to 250 huge schooners.
Oh, when I was a kid going down the docks and my father used to go painting, I used to go down there and I never paid attention to them. I could care less back then. And I just go fishing, and there's just so many boats out there, and it's incredible.
Yeah, now it's a tiny, tiny fraction of what it once was. But point being, like, it seems like everybody feels like they need to have their own tie-up spot now. They can't. No one wants to go on a mooring, be inconvenienced that way. But now the Gloucester has that harbor shuttle, launch boat.
Yeah, that's
city
cool.
Sponsored, pretty paid for, and everything. So. You'd think that wouldn't be an issue, that these boats could go on a mooring, but I think everybody's so spoiled that they want, you know, they have to have their own berth. And
it's too bad. Gloucester has a lot of space. Mm. They're not allowed to use. Like, if you go to the State Fish Pier, you look to the left, I don't know, it's on East Gloucester, you go right before you get to the North Shore Art Association.
Yeah.
What's the name? I don't know the name of that.
Oh, Americold? There's two Americolds. They're on both sides of the harbor.
Yeah, look at all that space they have. You can't use it. Look at all
the
space.
Well, because you know why that?
Yeah, it's some kind of
Patriot Act thing, Homeland Security, and you know, that's
the same with on the other side, State Fish Pier, next to Gordon's, or up from Gordon's.
Well, that's the other AmeriCorps facility.
There's so much space that they could use, and they're not able to.
Well, they go under the guise of the Patriot Act that people could be smuggled aboard, or they need to secure these areas.
The schooner has,
Have cannons aboard. I'm sorry. Cannons. But the Schooner Festival is an awesome, awesome event.
Yeah.
You know, last year got some traction with the Lobster Festival thing,
yeah.
A ton of people went down for that.
And they're doing it again, right?
And they're doing it. Yeah, they are doing it. We mentioned it on the podcast with Peter and Vicky last week when we taped, and I said I haven't gotten a press release about this, and Tracy Arabian, who I guess is doing the press releases for them, got me one, so we're going to be posting that tonight with all the information, where people can go and what's to do and stuff like that. They have a really good website. People should check it out. Yeah. So that's cool. So this weekend, did you get down to the Waterfront Festival at all?
Yeah, we went down Saturday. My wife and I went to walk around. I love it. Every year we go just to see what people come up with, all the ideas that they have. My wife spent about $150. So.
Oh, nice. But it's all artisans. Like, there's some very creative people. People do things with wire. People do things with ceramics. People do things with textiles. It's
my wife brought these buckets you buy at Ace, round with the rope handles. And some lady just did nice paintings of different Legos, everything for kids. So it's like a toy bucket.
Ah.
And then she'll, as you tell them the names you want, and she'll do it.
Oh, with the kids' names
on it. So my wife bought three of them for a Christmas present. She did all the Christmas shopping yesterday.
Wow, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Never even thought of that.
Yeah. I was kind of not disappointed, but I don't know how expensive it is to rent a booth, but there was two gloss, at least two. I don't think there's any more than that. Somebody that was doing prints were really nice, and some.
Was it that Rusty Kinnunen?
It could have been. I don't know.
Was it Niles Beach and Good Harbor Beach, and they're kind of very
pastel-like print type of thing, really light.
Almost looked like the old school cruise ship ones, very understated. Or is there a lot of detail to it?
No, I can't remember who it was.
I wonder if it was that Rusty Kinnunen. He was at the Hive, and he did
Woman that was at the booth.
Yeah.
Okay. But there was another a photographer there with nice, very nice pictures.
Was the first one a photographer or a printmaker?
There's one's looked like a printmaker, okay. And then there was a photographer in another booth.
Out of all the things, you only noticed two Gloucester-based artists?
I was talking to a couple of the vendors that my wife bought things off of to see how they did.
Yeah.
And they were from Indiana. A lot of people from New Hampshire that come down, and they just travel around that circuit.
It's well attended.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I think it's very well attended.
The place is mobbed. It's great.
Yeah.
I had a good time.
Brings people into the city. They also had the block party last night. I talked to Eric Lorden from Passports. He said they had a monstrous night.
That's good.
Place was packed. And I didn't even know this till last night. I got sent an email from Janice Lufkin-Shea, who was one of our founding members of the Block Party Committee. I didn't know that Mark McDonough and Valerie Markley both resigned from the Block Party Committee. They were like the leaders of it. After we kind of left, our group, that's the founders of it, we did it for 3 or 4 years, and then we kind of we passed it off. We figured it was on its feet.
Yeah.
So here's how it went. We recognized our philosophy was everything for free. We'll get the musicians to play for free. Don't charge don't charge anything to any of the vendors. We'll get a couple sponsors, and a couple of the banks, I think, stepped up big time to pay for certain little things that we couldn't avoid having to pay for. But the idea was to have the downtown people make money and not have to pay anything. After 3 years of doing it, we recognize that model is not a sustainable model, because really you can't ask musicians to play for free. It's just, it really is not right. You said, and you know, in my thought of, you know, way back when was, well, you'll get all this exposure, you know. Screw you, and you're like, you know, saying to the guy that says that, who was me, screw you, Joey, because I have bills to pay, and I'm an artist. I deserve to be paid. You know what I mean? You don't just ask people to come back, and that's like someone asking you to, you know, paint them something every 2 seconds. Oh, but you'll get exposure because it's going to be here, so give me all your stuff and don't pay me for it.
Yeah, but art rocks are always free.
Yeah, they cost you a lot to produce. So,
what are you trying to say?
Your canvas is very expensive.
Well, there is very expensive, because I went down, I'm going to put a post up. I went down to Pebble Beach just to hang out. My wife was working, so I had nothing to do. And it was a beautiful night.
You got a ticket?
And there's a sign, I just noticed it, I don't know how long it's been there. On the left hand, you're parking on the rocks, and you look on the left, there's a sign that says, Do not remove sand or beach rocks. $500 fine.
Whoa.
Screw them. Screw
when did that happen?
When do they own the land? When do they own the sea? Screw them.
Interesting. I know that's always kind of been a law.
I'm going to be down there with a bright orange shirt just picking out rocks and screaming.
That's what you would do. So anyway, so we talk, getting back to the block party thing. Now, we recognize that doing it for free was not a sustainable thing. Here comes Mark McDonough, who took over the reins as a leader, and he brought in his group of folks. And Valerie Markley was one of these, what was his left hand or right hand or whatever. She kind of really was the point person, it seemed, her and Mark. And she had this experience in running these street festivals or street fairs or whatever, you know, similar type things, and she was very successful with it. But they, you know, started charging people that wanted to participate in this. And I guess one of the block party people got into something with one of the merchants down there that didn't want to pay or something. I don't know the exact story, so I don't want to misrepresent, and I'm not using any names because I don't know for sure who it was. I have my suspicions who it was. But made it miserable for them. I guess they had to go in front of city council or something. Wow. They got called in by some counselors. So it's really sad because what our original block party committee did was a lot of work, but it was nothing compared to what the latest group that had been running it, like Mark McDonough and Valerie, what they were doing. They took it to the next level, what we were doing, and they took it to the next level. And I know how much, like, on that third year, the first year, everybody's patting us on the back. What a great job you did. This is awesome. What an unbelievable idea. The second year, you had just a couple little complaints here and there. And by the third year, it seemed like a ton of the downtown people, like, that's all they wanted to tell you was what you were doing wrong. Even though, to me, it's like one of the best events, and everybody that goes down there enjoys it, is unbelievable, so much fun. But all we were hearing was this negativity from these merchants. And, like, you know, and here we were bending over backwards to try to make this happen and help them and make money. Not all of them, believe me, not all of them. But, like, it was enough that you got frustrated because, like, no good deed should go unpunished type of deal.
Right.
And that's kind of why we kind of, like, okay, someone else with some fresh batteries come in. And I know that Mark McDonough and Valerie and their group, I know they put a ton of energy, because every time I saw them during the block parties, they were sweating bullets, running up and down the street, making sure everything was going well. So it's sad to me that they felt that they needed to step aside. And hopefully someone that has, you know, recharged batteries will take up this cause. Hopefully the downtown merchants group, that Gloucester downtown group that kind of split away from the chamber, and because they felt they could do things better, you know, the sidewalk bazaar and manage their own marketing better than what the chamber was doing for them. Hopefully they'll step up because it benefits downtown and will manage it themselves.
It's a great, I can't see why anybody could be, anybody could against it, especially the merchants.
I honestly
look at the people. It's a mob down there.
You know, my theory was, even if someone didn't walk the street and went in and out of those shops and didn't purchase something that night because they didn't want to lug it around all night, the visibility of how vibrant and relevant downtown Gloucester is compared to the way it was 10 years ago, people will see something in a shop and know that they can get it there the next time they need a gift or get something for themselves the next time they want to go down. So, it's a shame. And I hope Mark knows, Mark and Valerie know how much, I mean, I know that how much work they put in, and I hope everybody downtown pats them on the back, and even though they're not doing it anymore, gives them kudos for the work that they put in.
I guess you get burnt out after a while, all that.
Well, you get burnt out if someone's like, you know, if all you hear is complaints, you know what I mean? Like, someone didn't like the position that some table got put out or something like that. I mean, it's just, you know, if you don't want to, my big thing is the biggest complainers are generally the people that are not contributing and not doing, they're not helping out in the first place. The people that are, you know, volunteers to begin with are always generally accommodating and stuff. The ones that don't want to do anything but just take pot shots at the organizers that are doing it for free, or I guess in Valerie's case, she got from the article, it said she got $1,100 for as the manager of them for all four block parties, or three or four block parties, which, believe me, on an hourly basis, that probably comes out to, you know, $5 an hour. But, you know, it's not enough. You know, it's not whatever it is. It's got to be one of those labor of love deals. And now with people chirping at you, it doesn't become a labor of love. It becomes a, you know, you're like, why am I beating my head against the wall here? You know, to help these people if they're not gonna stick up for me or go to bat for me. You know,
sit back and enjoy it.
Yeah. Either get out of the way and let the good stuff happen, or contribute yourself. Right. But don't get in the way of other people. You know, that drives me crazy. Yeah. You know?
But the Waterfront Festival is great. My wife this year, she's kind of disappointed because her thing is like a tradition. She goes down there and she finds a nice pocketbook, a handcrafted pocketbook. And
this there wasn't one.
But there's a lot of neat stuff down there. This place is mobbed. It's great. Yeah,
that's good. That's very good.
And I think today they have the old car people there.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and we were talking earlier about the Beauport Princess. That's something, huh?
Yeah, we're going on a dinner cruise tonight. I think it's some kind of Jamaican night or something.
Jamaican night, really?
Well, on the Beauport Princess and a buffet.
Really, that sounds interesting. Yeah, that sounds like something.
I think it's just a normal thing they have. It's not a special occasion. It's just a my wife's whole family's going.
Nice. So. Beautiful ship. I talked to the chefs. And they tell me that I talked to someone over there that said the thing only goes out for 7 times a week, but every single time I'm looking into the harbor, the thing is bouncing around, and it's like 8 o'clock at night last night that thing was out, and like 11 o'clock in the morning that thing is out. It doesn't seem like it stops; it just keeps going and going.
Well, during the week I noticed it's not as busy, but like yesterday they were out.
Do you see it at night? How beautiful it is, all lit up.
Yeah.
They're really cool, huh?
So we'll be there until, I think it's 6 to 9 in a buffet, some kind of Caribbean buffet.
I'd be curious. I want to hear your thoughts on how the food was and stuff. I've heard good reviews.
I eat anything. I'm not a big foodie.
Oh, I am. But you just tell me. I'd like to know how if it was a nice time for you.
Oh, yeah. I'll take some pictures.
Yeah. So you got a new camera.
Yeah. I got a video camera.
Yeah.
Canon G30.
Are you going to use it for the Schooner Festival?
That's a good idea, yeah. I'm not sure what I'm going to use it for, but I'm going to try to get me and my son to start doing some stuff around Gloucester.
Is there a big, like on a video camera, what kind of lens, does it have a big zoom on it?
No, it doesn't pop out like if you see a zoom on I have a super zoom digital camera, regular camera, and the lens pops out. The lens doesn't move, it's inside. You can see the lens inside moving, but it doesn't pop out any more than it is.
I was talking to Al Bazanson yesterday, and Al is, and I guess from the podcast that we did last week, I was talking to Peter and Vicky, and they said that they go down to the breakwater to watch the Schooner Festival, the Schooner races, I should say, that part of the Schooner Festival is the Schooner races, and they watch it, and it's beautiful and everything, but they have no idea who's winning. There's no way to tell who's winning from...
How can you see? Can you see that far out?
I don't know, but there's big cones out there. That there's two cones that they go back and forth and back and forth, and if you knew what was going on, you could kind of keep track of it. And you know, when Paul Morrison does the Blackburn Challenge on his kayak, he uses his iPhone as a transponder.
And the GPS.
And the GPS, so we can see exactly where he is as he's going around.
Yeah, that'd be cool on the boats.
If all these schooners took had someone with an iPhone reporting their location, how cool would that be?
Well, you got to get Paul Morrison down there and give him a lesson.
You know what I think is like a cooler thing than would be a cooler setup than like doing this race that where they just go back and forth and back and forth is a race from one destination to another destination.
Yeah, having it to Gloucester Harbor so people can actually see the ending or something.
Right, like, and you can follow it like with a transponder. Yeah. You could like on an iPhone app, very easy to do in this day and age. Like you wouldn't even I don't even think you need a paid app to do that.
Yeah.
You know, because all it has to do is someone sending out their location, Google-based location, and you could follow what which ship is in the lead. So, like, the week before, like, the, it would be cool if they organized it that, say it takes an average of 2 days to get here from, and they, from one, if they all started out in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, or something like that, and they raced down here, it'd be kind of cool, like, oh, you know, you have a kind of an expectancy when they're going to be coming in, and when they came into town, they have a big, like, you know, confetti and, you know, horns and stuff.
Oh, they did
like
that 1 year. What boat came in that they had when the Endeavor was here?
The Endeavor or the Adventure?
No, what was the name of that boat that had the fire pumps on there, the water pumps?
Yeah.
Gateway Endeavor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When they were the pipeline boat there, they were doing the.
Yeah, I think it's when one of like the Picton Castle came in, some big boat came in. They had I think it started the. Actually started the schooner race. It went out there.
Yeah, that was pretty cool that year. That was like three, four years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it would be cool if like somehow or other we could get someone that knew what the hell was heck was going on like a committee boat and live broadcasting what's going on.
Yeah.
So the people could understand. Because I don't, you know, I can't understand it. I mean, I see the boats and they look beautiful. That to me is the extent of what it is.
Yeah.
And they are worth coming down to look at because these ships are so beautiful. And go on, pay a little bit of money and, you know, put a little money in the donation jar to take a tour of these boats. They're beautiful. They're floating museums is what they are. And even better, if you go out, get on some of these boats for the races, they take paying passengers.
Yeah.
So that supports these boats, ships.
Yeah. There's one big boat down in Virginia that you always came up here. The Virginia.
That's the one with the black lab on the mast, right?
No,
the
that's
flag.
The Black Dog. I don't know what.
That's the Virginia.
No, the Virginia doesn't do that.
On the top sail, they don't have the big triangular sail with a black lab on it.
No. I don't know what boat that is, but it's not them.
My God, I gotta look it up.
They're. On the lines of the Adventure, it used to be an old pilot boat, I guess, back in the old days.
Yeah.
But it looks like the Adventure, and it has, I think it had, did it have red sails? No. But they're based down in Virginia. They just redid the whole boat last year, and now they have to sell it because they can't support it down there.
A lot of these sponsored boats that rely on public donations to keep going, it's just so difficult because these boats are so big, and to haul a boat out nowadays, what it costs for paint and what it costs to dock them and everything else. That's why I always give kudos to Harold Burnham and Tom Ellis, because these are, and why I feel like they should be supported maybe more than some of these public things that, you know, because they are self-sustaining, you know what I mean? And I feel like someone that puts their ass in the line, like Tom Ellis and Harold Burnham, should be supported for making a go of it trying to finance these things than one of these boats that is constantly asking for money, and the public's money to tie it up, the public's money to pay for their captains and everything else, rather than the private model where the pit ships get maintained and paid for that way, and then they have to compete with the public model that you know that's getting, you know, public dollars to support them rather than, you know.
Well, we went on the landing with my brother this year when he came. He's from Naples, Florida. He came up here for a week or so. It's beautiful. You know, it's just so calm and just.
I hate to say this, but you were right. The schooner Virginia is not the one with the black lab on the mast. Because I've looked it up here. God damn it! I have to look it up now. Schooner with black lab flag.
It's called maybe Vineyard something.
Huh?
I think it's called Vineyard.
Oh, it's driving me crazy now. I can't find it. Okay, Paulie, so anything you wanted to finish up with?
Yeah, let's talk about me.
Let's talk about you. What's going on with you?
You got a mouthful here. Not much.
Not much? Well, there you go.
That's good enough.
That's good to end it right there. All right, for Joey Schumann.
For Art Rocks, there's one out today. I didn't.
Oh, there's an Art Rock out?
I didn't put it on the blog, though.
Didn't put it on the blog?
Nope. So.
Is that going to be the move?
Some tourist maybe find it.
Some tourista? What are the chances that someone finds it?
Not
that they find it. What are the chances that someone reports it back? What do you think? What is your hit rate on that?
50-50. I think some people might think it's a scam or something.
You think 50% of the people report back to you?
Yeah.
That's what it seems like it is?
Yeah, I don't know what they...
We're talking about Paulie's Art Rocks, where he gets like a nice, smooth, round stone from Pebble Beach that you're not supposed to get. He's a felon.
I'm going there. I'm going back.
He's a felon, and he uses a Sharpie, and he makes a Gloucester. He sketches a Gloucester scene, puts on the back, contact me here at...
Portable Graffiti.
And people find them, and then they report back. And there's a new one. How do you feel about the Gloucester Rocks new website and stuff?
It's not the same thing, is it?
It's a little different, but... It seems like it goes.
Yeah, somebody sent me a picture. It was nice enough to send me a picture. So they thought it was one of mine. They found it on the beach at during the fiesta.
Yeah.
It was like a rough drawing of a same boat with four people rowing. And she thought it was mine, and she was so excited. And I go, I'm sorry, it's not mine.
And then I found one on Niles Beach.
Yeah.
And it has a. So I went to the. I saw the. On the Twitter account, I think I was the third follower for this Twitter account, Gloucester Rocks, and so I followed up on it, and it seems like most of the links go back to Lynn Parisi's the people that she's associated with.
Contact.
But she says it's not her. And then I asked you about it, and your response on the blog was cantankerous as everything, because it's all flattery. My comment to you was, look, Paulie, there's someone doing something similar to your Art Rocks, and you said, and I said, flattery is the sincerest form of, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, and you said something nasty, like, more like a rip-off or something.
No, imitation, yeah, it's more like a rip-off.
Yeah, but you were just joking.
I was just kidding. I only kid.
I know, but a lot of people don't understand
If I was serious, I wouldn't put it on the blog.
Oh, there you go. So just anything he says, you can't take seriously.
That's right. You can't. I'm a liar.
There you go. All right. For Paulie Walnuts, this is Joey Schumataro, another Gloucester cast in the books.